Philippians chapter 1. Mark 37. If you know, we sung that song, Jesus Has Done All Things Well. Mark 37 is where you find that. Mark 7, 37 is where you find Jesus Has Done All Things Well. If you want to look at that sometime at your own leisure. But in Philippians chapter 1 is where I want to bring the message from today. Brother Bruce was preaching Wednesday evening, and while he was preaching, I said, this business of preaching and inspiration is so mysterious. He said, two things. I'm on. He said a couple of things, and I got two ideas for messages and scribbled them down. And this is one of them that I'm going to bring today. But here in Philippians 1, verse 21, Philippians 1, 21. Oh, I ain't got this. That's what the problem is. Didn't have this one. All right. Philippians 1, 21. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. The man who wrote this was at that particular time in prison. Called himself a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he wrote to these Philippians and told them how much they ought to rejoice and find their joy in the Lord. That no matter what happens, no matter what comes, rejoice in the Lord. I say again, always rejoice in the Lord. And he was in prison, and there were men preaching Christ, and they was preaching him out of envy of the apostle, preaching him out of strife, preaching him out of contention. But it didn't make any difference to him as long as Christ was preached. He said, the vessel don't matter much. It's the truth. It's the gospel that saves. So here's a man. He's in prison. He's sitting there. And he said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And I want you to notice here in this verse, there is nothing but a comma between life and death. A comma in that little sentence there. For me to live is Christ, comma, and to die. A comma between life and death. And that's pretty much the story of our lives. Death begins following us from the day we're born until the day we leave. It comes after us. It's something that's inevitable for all of us. It's something that for a believer, and this is what we do as preachers, we're not teaching people how to live, but how to die. You've got to know how to die. And Paul says, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain.
Amen.
To die is gain. And oh my, death is something that multitudes are afraid of. They fear with a great, great fear. But Paul said it was gain. It was gain. But how in the world could death be gained to him? Because he says, for me to live is Christ. You've got to know how to live first. You've got to have life to live first. And he said, for me to live is Christ. He didn't say Christ is the most important part of my life. He didn't say Christ is the primary purpose of my life. But he says, for me to live is Christ. I don't have no life if I don't have Christ. I'm not living if I don't have Christ. I'm existing and I've got a life, but it's temporary. For me to live is Christ. And that's why he says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, and our life is hid with Christ, we're at in God. He says, the life I now live, I live by Christ living in me. And his life, he says, for me to live is Christ. And beloved, that's what it is for a believer. We live by Christ. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And our Lord said, and look at it with me again. I quote this all the time, but we need to look at it. You need to learn your Bibles and get around John chapter 12. And the believer understands what it is for me to live is Christ. Take Christ away from us right now, and what do we have? Take Christ away from what I have to say today, and what will we have? Take Christ from this service, and why are we needing? Take Christ out of the Bible, you won't have a book. Take Christ out of creation, you got evolution. Is that not right? So that's what Paul says, for me to live is Christ. Take Christ out of anything, and what do you have? And that's why we pity the world. That's why we pray for our children. That's why we pray for our husbands and pray for our brothers and sisters, because they don't have life. They live. They got the world. And they breathe and they have movement, but yet they don't know Christ, so they don't know what it is to live. And you said, the girls used to sing, or somebody did, "I've just begun to live." And you know, I had a life until Christ came into my life, and now I live. I live. And Paul says, for me to live is Christ. Christ, my life, my living. And look here in John 12 and verse 23. And our Lord answered them and said, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth much forth much fruit." Now that means by His death, life comes out of it. And you see, that's how Christ is the source of our life. And how did we have Him as the source of our life? He died for us to live. Everything we need to live come from the death of Christ. Everything we need to live come out of that one grain of wheat falling into the ground. That grain of wheat, that the Lord Jesus Christ dying on a cross, bearing our sins, facing a holy and a just God, satisfying His justice, obeying His law, doing everything that was against us, He took it out of the way and nailed it to His cross. My sin is death. I don't have sin anymore. I live.
That's right. Amen.
Is that not right? Disobedience to God is death. I'm not disobedient. I'm obedient.
That's right.
To disobey the law, God says you're under curse. I'm not under a curse. How's come? That's what Paul said. For me to live is Christ. Everything that could possibly be against us, He took it out of the way. And He said, I'm come that they might have life. And how much life is He going to give us? An abundance. Now you start counting up the life you have in Christ. The life of righteousness, justification, forgiveness, peace, joy, grace, mercy, power to live, strength for your day. Everything you need for the source of your life, it comes to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why Paul says, for me to live is Christ. And we live by His death. Oh my. Spiritual life. I'm going to tell you something about this life. It's a spiritual life. And a lot of people don't agree with this, and it don't make a bit of difference to me. It just absolutely makes no difference to me, because I know I'm right. When I'm right, I'm right. When Christ comes and gives us life, when He comes and gives us this new birth, what He does is He brings into existence a man who never existed before. Ain't that right? We were dead.
That's right.
In trespasses and sins. And He has quickened us together with Him.
Yeah.
Ain't that right? With Him. When He lived, we lived. When he was raised, we was raised. So he brought into existence a person who never existed before. And that person is a spiritual person. You, how could you commune with God, understand God, speak to God, and God speak to you, understand His Bible, unless you've got a spiritual life? Unless you have a spiritual nature. And so when He comes and gives us His life, and this life comes from Him, and He comes and He gives us His spiritual life, He gives us a spiritual mind, He gives us a spiritual understanding, He gives us spiritual eyes, He gives us spiritual ears, and this spiritual life, that this source of life we have in Christ, is so far above the middle life that we had before we come to Christ, that it's not even comparable. You think back when you was an unbeliever, what did you know about God? When you was an unbeliever, what did you know about yourself? When you was an unbeliever, what did you know about Christ? When you was an unbeliever, what did you know about sin? When you was an unbeliever, what did you know about righteousness? When you was an unbeliever, what did you know about how to be accepted of God? So how in the world did all this thing come about? God come and gave us life, and that life is Christ. Christ in you is the hope of glory.
Amen.
That's why it's a dead giveaway if a man, you know, if he's got that life, it's going to come out. It's going to manifest itself. It's there. Oh my. So He's the source of our life. Where are we going to get life from? I don't have it. You don't have it. God's the only one's got it. And He put it in Christ's hands to give it. And one day we didn't have it, and the next day we did. And I'm going to live today just exactly like the apostle did, by Christ. Isn't that right? Oh, the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me.
Yeah.
Huh? And oh, we're joined to Him. The Scripture says we're united to Him. Bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh. All the life we need is, He said, without me, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Without me, you can do nothing. And we live by Him. We move our spiritual life. It comes from Him. And not only is He the source of our life, but He's the one who sustains that life. Once life's given, it's got to be sustained. Isn't that right?
That's right.
These little babies that's been born. We got all these little babies around here. They come forth from the mother's womb. They got life. Now that life has to grow. It has to be sustained. It has to be fed. It has to be nourished. And the whole person has to be nourished.
Amen.
Not just the body, but the little mind has got to be fed too. That's why they buy them toys and so they can reach and get them. That's why they buy them books so they can read. That's why they put things up so they can look. And they're little babies, their little brains have got to be taught and instructed. And then they got to be, their souls has got to be nourished. And that's why they want to bring them to hear the gospel, so that the soul can hear about Christ. Huh? You see, He's the sustenance of our life. What are we going to live? How's this life going to continue? We got to have bread. We got to have water. We got to have light. We got to have air. We got to have food. We got to have knowledge. We got to have our understanding taught. Our souls must be instructed. You know, you see these old timers, and I guess people still do it. Well, I know they do. But you know, they sit on a porch day in and day out, not do anything, just sit. And the brain vegetates. Vegetates. We don't want our brain. You know, it's going to go fast enough without us helping it along by doing nothing. And that's the way our soul is. Our soul is our mind. Our soul is our understanding. And that soul must be fed, and it must be sustained with the right knowledge. And the only thing that will sustain the soul is the knowledge of Christ. Now, ain't that right?
Amen.
I love to eat. Oh, my soul. I've never met a chicken I didn't like. Fried, boiled, baked. Is you fix it any way you want to. I like it. And I like beef. I like tenderloin. God, the best piece of meat God put on the face of the earth was pork tenderloin. I love to eat. But also, because of this new life, I love to eat this too. Don't you? I love to eat of the gospel, partake of the gospel, partake of Christ. We're partakers of Christ. And this new man that I was talking about, see, that's what sustains our life. That's the sustenance of our life. We go to the table to eat. We come to the table to feed on Christ. We go to the fountain to get water. We come to Christ to nourish our souls. We read books. We watch television programs. And we read newspapers to fill our brain with knowledge. We come to the Scriptures. We come to Christ. We come to hear the Gospel. We read our Bibles. And we pray so our brains, our souls can be filled with knowledge of Christ.
Amen.
Of all of our knowledge and all of our getting, we want to have the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus our Lord. No wonder he said, for me to live is Christ. Huh? How long would we last? We don't last long without fellowshipping with one another, do we? We don't last long without being around one another. And in fact, believers are when they're together, you know, the iron sharpens iron. And it's when troubles and sorrows and heartaches and grief and tragedy strikes, that's when believers start coming to manifest and the other believers feed off of one another. Paul said we have the mutual faith to one another. For me to live is Christ. And you know, all of our lives we've heard about people, oh, I'd like to be like so and so, and I'd like to be like so. I'd like to have the money of this one, I'd like to have the character of that one, and I'd like to be like this person, that person. Well, let me tell you something. You know what the believer wants to be like? Wants to be like Christ. Yeah, I don't want to be like anybody else. As much as I love it, as much as I love Brother Bill, as much as I love you, Jane, as much as I love Gary, you brethren, I don't want to be like any of you. I want to be like Christ. And that's what my prayer is. That's what your prayer is. I don't even want to be like the Apostle Paul. I would only be like him. I don't even want to be like him. God made one Paul. And we don't seek to be conformed to the Apostle Paul. We don't want to be like Simon Peter. We don't want to be like one of the Old Testament prophets. We don't want to be like somebody in Hollywood. We don't want to be like somebody in this church here today. Somebody, though, as much as we love them, as much as they manifest the character of Christ, we want to be like Christ. For me to live is Christ.
Right.
Then that's why we pray, Lord, you take me and whatever it takes and whatever's necessary to make me like you and to make me submissive to you, make me obedient to you. You do that. You take me like you take a cup, like I take this glass and throw it down and break it. And say, Lord, whatever it takes, you break me. And then I know that if you break me, you'll put me back together and I'll come back together better than I was before. And that's what, and it takes that, don't it? It takes the breaking, it takes the chastening, it takes the heartache, it takes the whole thing to make us like, to learn Christ, to learn what it is to trust Him, to learn what it is to live by Him and for Him to be our life. You know, when you look back through something, you say, how in the world did you get through that? There's only one answer, Christ. Only one answer. Only one answer. You know that old thing that people had years ago, and I guess they still do, that thing about the two footprints going down through the sand? And old folks thought that was so cute and so wonderful, you know. There was two sets of footprints going, and then there was just one. The Lord picked him up. There ain't never been but one set of footprints. Keep my footprints out of the way. Keep yours. We don't have it. Our footprints don't enter in. If it does, we're in trouble. Ain't that right? He must carry us. He must carry us. He must sustain us. And He must make us like Himself. And we'll never be like Him. And one of these days, bless His holy name, we'll be fully, finally conformed to the, that's the predestinating purpose of God.
Amen.
And when that's done, God's purpose for that person's over and done. And then the goal of our life is Christ. And what I mean by that, the end of it. The goal of our life is Christ. The end of our life. The end of our purpose for living is Christ. Is the Lord. For me to live is Christ. You know, you go out in the world and you watch, see all the things around, and some men, their end is to make money. Make money. The end of their life is to make money. To live to them is gold. For they could say, for me to live is money. For me to live is money. To live, to me to live is gold. And another man, he's working for this fellow that's making all this money. And he'll say, for me to live is to work for that fellow by the sweat of my face and just barely make a living. For me to live is just barely make a living. Struggle and strive to make a living. And you go to the education, go to the colleges and go to the seats of higher learning, and you'll find somebody and they'll say, for me to live is learning. For me to live is to get degrees. For me to live is to learn and get all these degrees and get all these attainments. For me to live is just to go higher and higher and higher in my field. And oh, you find these generals, you know. Oh, we see generals on the... Oh, there's more. I didn't have any idea that there's many generals in the army. They got generals everywhere. I've never seen the like of generals. Stars everywhere. One star, two stars, three stars, and four stars. Admirals, vice admirals, rear admirals. All these men. And boy, you know what they live for? And God knows it. And they know it. They live for glory. They live for glory. They live to have that row of ribbons. To have that row of medals. To make one more star. To make one more rank. To win one more battle. To have one more position. One more. To live for glory. To live for glory. The politician, he lives for glory. Every chance he gets, he's in front of a camera talking about what he's doing or what he's going to do. Lives for glory. Oh, he wants to glorify. He wants people to praise him. But oh my. But a believer, Paul, come out here, stand among all this bunch. Stand among all them philosophers on Paul, on Mars Hill, who love their learning, who just gathered around to hear and see and tell some new thing. Get around that merchant that's just counting his cargo and counting his money. Gather around, stand right in the and all them soldiers, stand right in the middle of them. Tell us what it is for you to live. Christ. Oh, you mean you would rather have Jesus of Nazareth than to have all my money? You mean you'd take that Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified as a common criminal, who was crucified for sedition, who claimed to be the Son of God, the Savior of the world, you mean you would rather know Him and be with Him and identify with Him and live by Him than to have what I've got? Than to have my ribbons, than to have my glory, than to have my wealth, than to have my degrees, to have my philosophy, to have my learning? You mean you'd rather have that man? Paul said, For me to live is Christ.
Amen.
We can stand in the middle of this world. I could stand in the Oval Office of the White House and say, for me to live is Christ. I could stand in the middle of a Billy Graham crusade and say, for me to live is Christ. I could go to the Federal Reserve Bank where they're cranking out $100 bills by the billions, say, for me to live is Christ, and not desire one of those bills. Could you do it? Yes. Everybody who knows Christ. Huh? Oh my. They say, well, how in the world can you live to the glory and honor of Christ? How are you going to feed your family if you make Christ to be everything? How are you going to make a living? For me to live is Christ. Huh? You see, we know what the end is.
That's right.
They don't.
That's right.
We know what the end of our life is. Huh? You see, Enoch walked with God. He had a big, big family. He lived for hundreds of years. He proved, me and Bruce Crabtree was talking about this the other day, he proved a man can walk with God and live in this world and please God. Enoch walked with God and had this testimony that he pleased God. Ain't that right? He had family. He had to work. He didn't have chairs like his set on when they went to worship. He didn't come driving up in a real nice air-conditioned automobile. No. And I tell you what, he didn't go to the freezer to get him some food out. And he didn't go open the cabinet door and get his cereal out and eat it. Everything he eat comes from the sweat of his face. And he walked with God. For me to live is Christ. That's how people do it every day. They make a living for their family. They live out in the world. They feed their family. They make a living. And yet they live to the glory and honor of Christ. For them to live is Christ. Huh? But now look what else it says here. For me to live is Christ. But to die is gain. To die. And you know, death, the way it is, with all the mean, ill, contrary, God-hating, Christ-rejecting people in this world. I read the other day, Mr. Spurgeon said, "Oh, death, why do you come among us? Why do you come among us? Why do you come among the righteous and take a righteous name? Why do you come among the saints and take out one that loves the gospel, loves the worship, and loves the songs of Zion? Why do you come? Why don't you go and take the profligate and leave the righteous and leave the good?" But he does. You know why? Because to die is gain. For a believer. You know, to die is gain for a believer. He's going to gain. Huh? To die is gain. This is a gospel riddle. This is a gospel riddle. And I'll tell you why. To die is loss. If we look only upon the visible. If we look only upon the outward.
That's right.
If we look only upon the flesh. Ain't that right? It's loss. If we look only on the visible. It's loss. When you first find out, it's lost. It's lost. You know, they'll say, well, the dead man lost all of his wealth. Can't take it with him. He lost it. He left it all. You know what the believer says? Naked I came forth from my mother's womb. Naked shall I return. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord gave, the Lord take away. Huh? We say, well, he's lost his friends. He lost his friends, left so many friends, lost all of his friends. They stand and they weep over him, and they miss him and they cry. That's a loss.
It's a loss. He lost his friends. He lost his wealth. And he left behind a weeping wife and children. And they ache and they groan and they weep and they cry. And the house is empty. How can this be a gain? This is loss. He's lost the fellowship of the believers. He's lost the worship with the saints. He lost the privilege to stand and sing the songs of Zion. How in the world can this be gain? I'm going to tell you. Let's see the gain. Let's not look at the loss. So he left his wealth. He left his gold. Now he walks on it. He goes in and out with the gates. We walk through wooden doors. He walks through gates of pearl. He left friends. Yes, a lot of friends. All believers leave a lot of friends behind. But now how many friends you reckon he has now? How many friends you reckon he has now? How many people you reckon he has now? He left his wife and his children behind, but he went to be with the family of God, the church of the firstborn. And one of these days, they will reunite and they'll know one another. They'll know one another. They'll know there as they're known here. We're known here as Donnie Bell. I'll be known there as Don Bell. And Paul was known as Paul here, and we'll know Paul there as Paul there.
Right.
And they'll reunite someday, and there they'll look one another face to face, and they'll say, "It's wonderful to see you, but it'll no longer be husband and wife, father and son, father and daughter. It'll be believers. There'll be no marriage nor giving in marriage. It'll be a spiritual, eternal glory with one another." And oh my, he lost the fellowship of his brethren in the church. He no longer sings the songs of Zion. Now he meets with the spirits of just men made perfect. I'd rather be where they are than where I am. He's now meeting with the saints of God. He left us here, and how many? He left a handful. Believers leave a handful there. They go meet a multitude that no man can number. Now he's with the just men made perfect, and they're one of them. He's all, you know, a believer when he goes. This is gain. He meets Abel, first believer who went to glory on the blood of the Lamb and the righteousness of Christ. Then met Abel. He knew him as Abel.
That's right.
Met Abraham. Oh, he's met the Apostle Paul. No doubt shook hands with him. That's what believers, this is what we call gain. Believers, when they go, we're going to meet Paul. Talk with Moses, and Moses won't be the lawgiver anymore. He won't terrify you anymore. He won't smite you with the rod anymore. And there's David. There's King David. Oh my, that's King David there. Oh, let me go meet King David. Don't call me king here. There ain't been one king here. Ain't been one king here. Don't call me king. I'm just David. The son of Jesse. Oh my. And you'll walk up to old Simon Peter, and you'll never remember that he denied the Lord. Never remember. He don't remember it anymore. And we'll not remember it. We'll meet him and he'll say, "There's old Simon Peter. There's that apostle." And oh my. And there'll be old John. John the Beloved. The one that the Scripture says, "He whom Jesus loved." He whom Jesus loved. And that'd be Mary Magdalene. There's the Magdalena. That's Mary. That's Mary Magdalene. You know that's Mary. Well, I'd know her anywhere. Oh, how blessed. What gain. What gain. Oh, he left the Word. Left the Bible behind. Believers leave the Word behind with all their notes in it. Leaves the gospel and the hearing and the preaching of it. Leaves behind the lie of the world. Left behind prayer. But now he's with the living Word. Now he dwells where the light is the Lamb of God himself. Farewell prayers! Now nothing but praise.
That's right.
Farewell songs! We're singing a new song. Farewell sickness! Now eternal health. Farewell tears! You'll never come down my eyes again. You can't come where I am.
That's right.
Farewell flesh! I'll never have to carry you again. Farewell fear, you can't be where I am. It can't dwell in my heart anymore. Farewell unbelief, you'll never cross my mind ever again. Farewell grief, you'll never cross my soul again. Farewell world, farewell. Farewell, oh dark glass through whom I look through dimly. Now I see face to face. Face to face. Farewell, vain things of this world. Welcome, sweet scenes of rest. Welcome, sweet home of the blessed. Oh my, no wonder the apostle said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain.
Amen.
I can't think about it. It can't cross my mind that I don't rejoice. We can't begin to enter in. Our mind can't grasp. Nothing but living here right now. But oh, the blessed hope we have. One of these days, these eyelids will close, the heart will stop, the mind will quit functioning here, and immediately, you'll be in the presence of Christ. No wonder he said it's gain. Here's the question. This is the question. Is Christ your life? Do you want Christ? Do you need Christ? Do you want the Lord Jesus? Do you need the Lord Jesus? If you have Him, then you'll be able to say, oh my. When you leave here, we'll say about you, oh, what a gain. What a gain. That's why we can just, we can say, I'll see you later. It's what I told Mary's mama when we left the graveyard after I patted that casket. And I'll see you later, sweetie. I'll see you later, sweetheart. I'll see Ed later. See Archie later. Henry will see his daughter later. That got down to 70 pounds before she died. He'll see his son that went off to Vietnam and got killed 10 days after he was there in 1969. Oh, what a blessed hope we have. And Job said it like this. I know my Redeemer liveth, and I shall see him for myself with my eyes, not another.
Yeah.
And in my flesh, I shall see him. I shall see. You reckon to die is gain? It's to gain. So, slip on up here. Just a common between life and death. And that's all it is. And I, one of these days it'll be taken away. The comma will be moved. Our Father, our gracious God, thank you for the privilege of meeting here today, to meet with the children of God, to meet with the saints of God, to worship you. Bless these words, dear Lord, to our heart, to our understanding. Lord, save you people in this place. Cause the gospel to have life. Cause it to be a fragrance of life, a savor of life. Oh Lord, we need you, and we thank you for the blessed hope we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, how we thank you for it. God bless these dear saints. Bless these dear saints. We bless you in Christ's name. Amen.